Welcome to Inspire and Move, the show that inspires you to create, connect, and grow. I'm going to bring you meaningful conversations, aha moments, and all the motivation you need to uplevel every part of your life. I'm Ali Arruda, founder of Inspire and Move, and your personal hype girl. I've gone from fashion school to celebrity stylist to corporate marketing to brick and mortar entrepreneurship with my husband, each time learning incredible lessons how to pivot, reimagine, and implement the steps to become successful. I am passionate about inspiring others to live their best life, a life of joy. We have the power to design a life that we love because life is too short not to. The best part is that you weren't meant to do this alone. If you feel like you were meant for more, let me ride shotgun with you, and together, let's get you to where you want to go. Hey, you guys, welcome back for part two of my conversation with my friend Aisha Marshall. I hope you loved part one earlier this week, and I'm just so excited to have you back here for part two. Let's dive in. I hope you enjoy. Do you have a, you know, a framework or even for a tangible, because I would imagine that people are listening right now. And I mean, I feel like I just had to pick my jaw up off the floor. I'm like, hey, Ali, you get your next thoughts ready. Because the mic drop of like how it dropped in and you got this. It was so powerful. But do you have almost like a framework or like a takeaway or even just like words of encouragement for people listening that cocoon season that is messy and not fun? What that timeline can look like from cocoon to butterfly?
So remember when we were talking about timelines before and I was like, I don't know if it's the time frame. I think it's the process, how long it takes you within that realization process. And we talked about grief a little bit before we started recording and how this phases of grief are just like a windy road. You could take another lap, and sometimes it's not even by choice. You're just taking another lap in one phase, and you go to a next phase and you're back to the previous one, and then you move on and you're back to the, it's just like, it's chaotic, but there is progress. I feel the same way with my framework for butterfly season. There's no time, but it's like the effort that you do within the process is what pulls you out of it. You either take another lap or you go in the direction that you want to go in. And so the beautiful thing is I'm dropping a guided workbook journal. It's like a book / journal, if you will, but
hard copy.
Yeah.
Love a hard copy. I'm 38, but I feel like old school. I'm like, I have a hard copy agenda and a notebook and a pen.
And my highlighter.
Highlighter. Oh yeah.
Yes. Cool. Yes.
You get me with a highlighter and post-it notes. They
can. Right. Yeah. So I'm dropping that hopefully in March, and it brings you through this process. And that process is going through like issue spotting. So some people don't know where to start. They know that they're in like a season of chaos, but they don't know why they're there yet. It's like waffling between caterpillar season and cocoon season. And so we go through this process of issue spotting. What is the issue? And some of the questions are, what are the things that are that make you stuck? What are the things that are frustrating you? Is there a common theme within those things? Or have you felt this way before in another situation? Just to kind of get you to pick up on the pattern. And when we get to that issue, one of the things that I like to, or the next part in the process, or what I like to do is, when was the first time you felt that way? Like, when was the very first time you felt whatever the issue is that you find, right? Because that takes you to the first pattern that you create. I talk about this often in relation to like actual microdosing of mushrooms. It's like, think about the same process and microdosing like a mountain, right? And you're skiing down a mountain. The first person on the first drop of snow to ski creates the pathway. And if you follow that person, it's easier to follow on the same pathway, much like a trail. You know where people are walking on the trail because it's constantly being walked on. And so when things happen in your life, or to close that loop, mushrooms kind of give you a clean slate to create, to not take another lap and take a lap in the direction that you want to go in. Now, with my framework, if we can understand the first time you felt this way, we can understand what coping mechanism do you always do when you feel this way that ends up taking you down another lap as opposed to going in the direction you want to go in. So one example would be for me, my husband and I want, like, we've been trying for children and we wanted to have kids, and are not past tense, we want to have kids. And I felt like I had resistance towards it. This is like in 2022. and I couldn't figure out why. But after going through, like, when I think about having a child, what's the feeling that I felt? Okay. When was the first time that I felt that feeling? Okay. It's when my mom would have a boyfriend. But I'm like, what's the correlation here? What did I feel like when my mom would have a boyfriend? Well, I would feel like whenever there were three people involved, I would be loved less. I've taken that same pattern that was created as a little girl into friendships, into relationships, and now even into the idea of having a child, because when there's three around, I'm the person that's loved less. So understanding the first time that I felt that way gives me a framework to say, okay, I'm not loved less. I don't have to do things to protect myself, because that's all I knew when I was little. Our brains are so small, we don't have the capacity to have awareness and insight and all of the things. And so if you have compassion with yourself at that point, then we can say, okay, well, what's a better coping mechanism? Maybe it's not blocking any relationship that is three or more people, right? Like, what does that coping mechanism look like? And when you choose a more healthy one, then you get a different outcome and you're no longer repeating the same pattern. And that's the learning and unlearning to relearn what you want in life. And then by virtue of that process, we kind of go through what it looks like to maintain an issue spot a lot earlier, when not when you're in a chaotic situation, but when you're like, okay, that didn't feel good. How can I use this framework to kind of pull myself out of here and not react this way to this anymore? Because I'm not a child in survival anymore. I'm not trying to do things to keep me safe anymore. Or I can, but I can choose how I do it. So that's what the journal framework is.
I'm just like trying to gather my thoughts here. This is so mind blowing. And like, you speak so effortlessly about it. And I am so intrigued. Like, you just sit in your own thoughts. Like, when you've been able to successfully identify this emotion and where it stemmed from, are you doing this in the comfort of your own home? Are you doing it on a nature walk by yourself? Like, that, those are some big emotions from long time ago. Totally. That you were able to identify.
So this one particularly, I microdosed in the morning, went to hot yoga. Usually movement and yoga and meditation, I get like the clearest hits and pings from God at that moment. After yoga, I did a guided meditation with my therapist around this whole thing, and then realized that that's where that was coming from. I don't always need to do that. So another one, like, my husband and I were having a conversation about his first money memory, because typically if you can figure out your first money memory, you can see how that is indicative of how you handle money for mm-hmm. the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And if it's not a great memory, then you're using that same information, that same pattern, anytime you experience a similar set of facts. And so when it's important, this was important to me because I'm the type of person, like, when I'm doing work, I'm like, what is the why? But why? But why? But why? To finally, like, close the loop and understand the full thing. And when people are saying things like, you know, you just have to be the person or show up as the thing or manifest what you want, it's like all these intangible things. Like, there's no step-by-step application. And it's also anchored in, like, how do you feel? You know what I mean? Which could be such a fleeting thing dependent upon anything that's happened in your life in the past. And so me understanding, it just took this whole butterfly season process was me understanding myself. And understanding, like, I call it word math. Like, what words do we need to put together to actually get the outcome that we want, to make an informed decision on how to call in all that you want in your life?
Oh, I love that. Word math. Mm-hmm. I feel like girl math is getting so much attention right now, but word math.
Word math. I even feel like law school was word math.
That's so impactful. And I feel like that's another good little nugget to take away. Yeah. And for people to think about, you know, what words are either, you know, describing their feeling or season that they're in, mm-hmm. and how can they transform through that season to different words that they right. want to be feeling right. and experiencing.
Right. That's really what the framework is. If we issue spot, I use words to kind of get the answer. This plus this equals this. Like, it's a literal framework to make it so remedial for everyone so that they can walk themselves through their own healing journey.
This is spectacular.
I'm like, it's literally my best work.
I can appreciate that. I mean, like, I'm listening to this and there are so many words in my head that are like a word search in my mind right now of what I'm experiencing just listening to you. I'm so captivated and I'm so grateful to have you here and for excited for people to be on the other end listening to this.
Thank you. Thank you.
And what a beautiful story for yourself, like, just to be so personally connected to butterfly season.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Like, I think when people think of cocoon season, we think that you can't also have a dual season that is a butterfly season or a dual season that is a caterpillar season. It is beautiful because you can fluctuate through a bunch of different seasons. And I feel like I've been experiencing dual seasons in a lot of things. And so it is helpful. Like, these are the tools that I use to kind of get me out of a cocoon season. But when I'm back in one, I'm like, okay, I got to buckle up because there's going to be a lot of, like, there's pain that comes with unlearning, because the only reason why you did what you did is to keep yourself safe. And if you remove the thing that you think keeps you safe, you feel so scared. It's just like when you challenge anything that people truly believe in, religion, government, politics, like, there's something foundationally that they are resting their life on, that if you remove that, it makes them so fearful. It's really how people get radicalized. This is like a whole different rabbit hole, but, like,
I'm here for it.
I was watching on Netflix, I think it's How to Train Your Mind, I don't know, brain show. And your core values in life, one of them, safety, but when you, people can use that against you to radicalize you to do crazy things, like join a cult, be a terrorist, like anything, because your whole foundation is on it. That's why it's so hard for people to change patterns and behaviors, because, like, for me, mine was like, I'm loved less. Love is such a huge motivator. If I feel like when I'm in a group of three, anything outside of two, I'm loved less, I'm never going to be in a group of people, because that's what I think, right? The driver and the motivator is love. And so I feel like with this guided journal book, it can help you, like, demystify those things and challenge some of the things that you hang your hat on in a way that doesn't make you feel scary to, like, be in a cocoon season.
Oh, I'm so excited for this to come out.
Thank you.
Where can people find it when it comes out?
Butterflyseason.com. And season is S-Z-N. Or you can go to my Instagram at Aisha, A-I-S-H-A.
I love that. I do want to tap into one thing, and it's interesting that you've talked a little bit about, you know, girlfriends or, you know, groups of two, mm-hmm. three or more. Mm-hmm. I mean, I, as a outsider that sadly does not live in Scottsdale, Arizona, I watch and consume this beautiful community and circle of girlfriends that you have. And I just had an episode talking about friendships for reasons, seasons, and lifetime. Mm-hmm. And I think that friendships, conversations in the world, especially of entrepreneurship, female entrepreneurship, can be a interesting topic, an interesting experience. Probably has butterfly seasons of its own.
Oh my gosh.
From
so much.
All three, where, you know, you have these moments where you're crying, you're on the floor, pick yourself up the floor, you have these great friends. How does that resonate for you in what your journey and experience has been? You know, you've lived in different cities mm-hmm. or countries as well.
Yeah.
And also in the world of entrepreneurship, closing an agency, starting white, butterfly season, podcasting. What does that experience look and feel like for you in terms of girlfriends and your community?
I am a firm believer that you attract who you are, which is sometimes, depending on the situation that you're in, either a big pill or a small pill to swallow. I realized that in my agency, because I remember being so frustrated with my employees, and I had a business coach tell me, like, they're mirroring leadership, and I'm like, oh, okay, wow. Interesting, which is true. But I think even in life, you attract who you are, and it's just, my philosophy is that you attract who you are to help you grow out of that version of yourself. Because you're always striving to be better, right? And so you might attract different friendships that bring out certain things in you. Maybe they bring out envy, or they bring out, like, frustration, or they bring out, maybe you feel bad about yourself hanging out with them. And that's not all friendships, right? But, or maybe you two are in a season together similarly in your marriage, or you two are in a season together, like, financially, or you two, or you, any friend, are in a season together in something else. you attract who you are. And as a collective with awareness, with friendships that have awareness, you guys can like grow together. And it's not to say that one person's growth journey is better than the other. It's just if you take another lap here, I might take another lap there, and we might end up back at the same point. Like it's not really a competition in that respect. But I have noticed that as I grow out of old versions of me, some of the friendships that were there, I also grow out of those friendships. That's not to say I'm not friends with them anymore, but like, it's just, I'm not that person anymore. I don't resonate with those things anymore. And that version of me is done. Or even like, I'm sure you've noticed in entrepreneurship or in networking, like you can like try to plug yourself into somebody energetically. I would love to get to know you better. And you're like, I don't know. We're just like not an energetic match. I can't figure out why. Mm-hmm. Usually one of the other party knows. And eventually I feel like it ends up like, you know, kind of coming full circle, or you can kind of realize, oh, that's why we didn't connect, because energetically we're not a match. I really feel like it's all energy, and I've been fortunate for some of my entrepreneur friends now. They have awareness. We can be vulnerable about stuff that I probably wouldn't be vulnerable about in other relationships, like about marriage, finance, like energy, projector stuff, microdosing. And it's not that I have one friend that does it all, but I do have a bunch of different friends that I feel like support me in my journey, and I support them in their journey to kind of like undo some of the things that you're trying to work on to be better. And then you have friends where it's like, we don't talk about any self-development stuff. We're just kind of like hanging out to have fun, which is also okay. But all in all, I really feel like you attract who you are to help you grow.
I think that's so true. And kind of, I feel like that energetically aligns with butterfly season so well. Mm-hmm. That, you know, you go through these seasons and you can go through these seasons with friendships.
Yeah.
Have you had to, you know, gracefully close out some of these friendships as you're growing and evolving on your journey? And have you had a successful like how to do that?
Yeah, it's so hard, because especially when you're all in with somebody and then you just pull back and there's like no reason other than I don't think we're aligned anymore, right? I mean, there's more of a reason, but then the question becomes, does it benefit them to explain to them how you're feeling if it's not something that they've asked or something that you guys have supported each other in the past? When it comes to relaying messages like that, I'm always like, understanding the receiver, their position in life, how they receive things, and being mindful of them first before you give the information is important to the information even being received in the first place. If I'm just giving you information because of what I think, and I'm not even factoring whether or not it benefits you, what's my motive to give you that information? To hurt you?
No, you don't right? want to hurt the person, especially not intentionally.
Right. And so for some people, I've just kind of pulled away like gracefully, and I still talk and hang out with them, but it's just not the same level that I did before. It's interesting. I feel like it's definitely a case by case basis. But if you do have a friendship where you guys can be vulnerable, like I have a friend who we can 100% be vulnerable, like the ugliest parts of us we've both seen, and we're happy to be vulnerable and work through our own issues. And what happens with that, and issues in terms of triggers, not that there's like arguments or anything, but like, you trigger me when you say that because I feel like X, Y, and Z. Especially when you're giving someone advice and being very candid about what they have going on and vice versa. And what I found is that like, because you attract who you are, it's a lot of mirroring. Mm. And so something that triggers me might also trigger her in a different way, which is why we're kind of responding based off these energy matches. Or I found that like you might have similar upbringings as those people, so you're just like energetically attracted to how they do things because that's how you're used to things being done. And so you're constantly triggering each other because you've grown out of that person. But there's still a lot of like stuff that lingers on. And if you can have those transparent conversations with people where there's no filter and they can receive it, I think that's a beautiful thing. I have one friendship in particular where she reminds me of my mom, and I remind her of herself when she was younger, and it's just this fucking loop.
Yeah.
We love each other so much and we're great friends and we help each other so much. But sometimes the things that she says, like I have to check my mother wound and like what comes up for me in that and how I respond to her shouldn't be the same response that I respond to with my mom, and it's not an apples to apples thing, right? So there's a lot of layers of complexity there that some people don't care to look at in relation to friendships or even partners, like your boyfriend or your girlfriend, but they exist.
I love that. It's such a great way of just even talking about the complexity.
Yeah.
Now you talk about, you know, you are who you attract. Is there a place, an experience that you love to go, be, travel to collect new people in your life and attract new people?
Try to plug my energy into new people.
Yeah.
I like entrepreneurship rooms, but that can just get tricky. That's the importance of like having a level of discernment and understanding like from an energy perspective. Energy is so like not it's not tangible.
You can't touch it.
No, it's just like something that only you know, and really honoring how you feel about something and then also checking yourself on why you feel the way you feel about something. Because sometimes you could be like, oh yeah, we're not an energetic match, but you might just be jealous of that person. Explore that. Or we're not an energetic match because you feel like they have something going on that you don't want to be a part of. You don't know what it is yet, but it just doesn't feel like a match. So entrepreneurship rooms I really enjoy, but we're all just human, and like we all have flaws and we all have our own things and we all have our terrible patterns and we all everything. And so when you throw people together in a room where you're also trying to be a better person, but sometimes you're not, and it's just, it can be layered. But I do like networking. That feels fun to me. And typically my friends' friends end up all being like a match and friends. So like I imagine I love you. I imagine I would love your friends because you are who you attract, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay, going into a wrap-up question, when you just talked about, you know, these rooms, this is fun for you. I want to take fun and sort of pivot that into joy. Mm-hmm. One thing that I love talking about is living a life that we love and living a joy-filled life.
Yeah.
And I actually just took Matt through this exercise as we were kind of planning out our goals and feelings for 2024. And I told him about a joy list that I have. I've encouraged some of my girlfriends to make these. And I would love to know what is on your joy list, like for Aisha, and maybe even a joy list that you and Cam would share together. Big things, whether it's, you know, this particular vacation spot that's really magical for you, but it could even just be like a hot yoga class at 9 o'clock in the morning because you get to microdose in the morning and have a coffee. Just what's on your joy list?
There's a few things that are on my joy list. Sushi is on my joy list.
Oh, love that.
I have so much joy for sushi. Walking down the street that I want to live on is on my joy list.
Is that street in Scottsdale?
Yes. Okay. Or Phoenix, Scottsdale. I think the street goes through Phoenix and Scottsdale. And I wouldn't mind living on any side of the street. Although I do have a house I love on the street. So I'll walk there every Friday with one of my girlfriends. Joy list. Another joy list is hot yoga, just by virtue of like what I get out. I really feel like I somehow plug into God and am able to get information when I'm doing hot yoga. And also it just feels great to like cry sometimes when you need to, and nobody can tell that you're crying because
everyone's
sweating so much and everyone's eyes are red and everyone can't breathe and you're just trying to survive.
Yeah.
What else is on my joy list? Laughing with my husband is on my joy list. Right now, I think this might stay on my joy list, but my husband and I are making a life playlist.
Oh, I love this.
Only songs can go on this playlist that like remind us of like times in our relationship. So that's been a lot of fun because there's so many different like seasons, and then we've created rules around it. Like the song can't be in real time. It has to be like a year or 2 year delay so that you can see if that's truly a song that reminds you of like, you know.
Love that.
That's been fun to do.
I love that so much.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I've just loved having you. Like, having you here is on my joy list.
Yes.
And this is living a moment of joy.
Thank you.
My heart is full of joy just to honestly just sit and stare at your beautiful face. Not to mention the conversation and just everything that you've shared. And I feel like you've really dropped in and has shared so much powerful insight and wisdom. And I am so excited for people to have that.
Thank you.
But also to see and celebrate what you have coming in March. And so
thank you.
I want people to know everything, like where to find you, where to find Butterfly Season, the journal. Fire away.
Before I do that, you are joy.
Oh, thank you.
You really are. Like your energy is just very joyful. So I love like being around you, and I love that you have a joy list. So
it's such a fun, I think it's such a fun activity, and I've tried to encourage people to do that. Like, I also think it's a powerful exercise to do with your partner or with your best friend or your business partner. You know, you can apply that and take it away as you wish, but I think it is so neat to know. The other day, Matt came home with a candle, and he actually said he bought it. He's like, it reminds me of the hotel that we stay at in Scottsdale, which this is a happy place for us. And that he went to a bookstore and found this candle and thought, like, I'm going to spend the $14 on this candle and bring it home.
So that it can, like, take us closer to our joy list.
Yeah.
Love that.
And
love,
I thought, what a cool example
of
a joy list and doing that activity with your partner.
Yeah.
That I have Matt's joy list. I have mine. He has mine.
Right.
And his, and I think it's really neat.
It just keeps you operating at like a higher energy. And I think that as entrepreneurs, if that's like the predominant demographic that's listening, sometimes we forget the importance of having fun or having and experiencing joy. So that's beautiful.
And like good belly laughs, like doing things. I think that's an excellent takeaway as well. Like having fun, you know, we are grinders, hustlers, we're working hard, building our dream life and trying to stay aligned with our values. And it can be very easy to lose sight of also having fun with yourself, with your business partner, your life partner, friends.
Totally.
Enjoying the ride.
So where people can find me, my Instagram, Aisha, A-I-S-H-A. My Butterfly Season Instagram is Butterfly Season, and season is S-Z-N. Sorry, it's Butterfly Season, I-T-S Butterfly Season. And then the website is butterflyseason.com.
And we'll put everything in the show notes.
Amazing.
With links, and people can go for a nice deep creep and just catching up on all the amazing things that you're doing.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for being here, you beautiful butterfly of a human.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much for listening. If you love this episode, it would mean the world to me if you took 30 seconds and shared this on social media, send it to a friend, or leave a 5-star review. There is power in community, and I am so grateful to have you part of mine.